Blog Talk Radio.
Oh yeah. Well, hello. This is Dave Graham. Everybody knows who I am that knows who I am. So if that's not too redundant to say, we're in the house, me, G-Ski, and whoever else decides to join us. We're going to be rocking it out here tonight. Plenty to talk about, although right now I really don't have a plan. So talk about winging it, we're going to wing it. But I'm sure between G-Ski and I, we will come up with some very interesting and entertaining chatting. That's what we'll do. So you can hang out with us and get your, do your thing. If you want to call in, let me give you the number for that. 1 second here. The number is, I don't even know what it is. Oh, here it is. Here's a, if you want to call in, 516-387-1705. So G-Ski's with us, but he's hooking himself up to his machine and hopefully going to be muting his TV in a minute. he's hooking himself up to his machine because he got a, you know the deal with him, the old dialysis machine. So in any case, we are going to be crack-a-lacking, if I recall, and we're in there like swimwear. I just learned that from him. So we were chatting before the show started. So we're gonna get right after it. So in the last 7 years since I was on Blog Talk Radio, there was a lot, and I actually ended up working like 2 full-time jobs for a little while because when I was on Blog Talk Radio before, it was because I was promoting a book. The reason I had a book was because I was between jobs and had a lot of time on my hands. So I ended up producing a couple of books. And so then, then things kicked back in on the job front. So I was working, delivering mail, as some of you guys know. And really I had a small route because I was also working second shift at a high school. All right, a school district, actually. It was 3 schools. As the custodial supervisor, and there was probably 9 guys working for me, and it was a good job. It's not something you can keep up though for any length of time, and kind of caught up with me. But in any case, the post office job, I'm pretty good with that. I'm a full timer there. It's hard work, at least through the winter, and through the holidays and stuff like that, as you know. But through the other half of the year, it's not too bad. I mean, it has its moments, and there's a lot of things that go on there that you can't control. You know, if your mail shows up late, you can't really do anything until it gets there, so, but that's not your fault, but you got to still deal with it. You got to still deliver it. So we got, I got that going on right now. So then, a couple of years ago, I decided to, got the itch to get back into performing, music. I got a spot in a band. I was a keyboard player and, playing some guitar as well. And, doing some singing. And I had a job in a band. We did like 2 or 3 gigs, and things kind of died down for the band. And then right after that, COVID hit. So it was tough. When COVID hit, I was working on a 2-person act with the backing tracks. basically. That's the easiest way to understand it. We use MIDI, the bass guitar would be, for each song. The drums would be, specific for each song as well. So we would kind of like play along to the MIDIs, to the backing tracks. And what I figured out that was is, and it's okay because I find out nobody really cares. It's karaoke from musicians. So if you play along with the backing tracks that don't have any vocals in it, that don't have any guitar or whatever it is that I'm playing, and all it has is like bass and drums and maybe another rhythm thing, depending on what I'm doing. It's like karaoke for musicians. So so it's kind of fun, actually. What I got also is came across these vocal processors that will actually harmonize my voice real time, according to what's on the backing track. So it almost sounds like I pre-recorded them, but it's doing it real time. So if I flub a lyric, luckily the harmonies will flub right along with me. So you can't really tell. If you record your backing tracks, you have to make sure you hit the same lyrics that the tracks are saying. So, and then, but the coolest thing I got, and then I'll move on, but I just kind of giving you some background. What I'm doing right now is, I had a guy, if anybody's seen any of my Facebook posts, I had a guy that, was playing lead guitar and he was doing singing and it was the 50-50 band. And, then just for whatever reason, he decided to just bow out. I mean, we did two or three gigs and we're waiting for the COVID thing to break, and just as we're about ready to get, that phone would probably start ringing. He bows out. So I'm back to a solo act. But I have this light show that is actually synchronized to the song. I don't know how many times I've been in a band, oh yeah, we got lights, and it's like a red, a blue, a green, and a yellow, and they would just like blink, 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 red, blue, green, yellow, red, blue, green, yellow, and they would just do a four-color chase, and I'm like, lame, 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 lame. So I picked up some LED lights. I got a controller that programs them the same way, the track that runs the bass guitar. I have another track that runs the lights. So I have different scenes. So it's kind of a higher end light show, but it doesn't take too long to set up. So anyways, we're waiting for G-Ski to pick back up, and he'll be hooked up to his machine, and he just needed to step off to get that done. But I guess our esteemed president did a press conference the other day. That was pretty awesome. It went exactly the way everybody who has ever heard him talk knew that it was going to. He was going to forget stuff. He was going to trail off when he losing track of his thing. But of course, the news media, boy, he was real presidential. Oh, he's a real uniter. And it's like they're the Bandarlog from the Jungle Book, the monkey people, where their song is, oh, we are great and we are powerful and we are the most, we are the smartest in all the jungle, and we have said it, so it must be so. And that's how they are. We have said it, so it must be so. If it's not media narrative, then it's hate speech. That's what our life has become. That's what the country has become. If it doesn't go right along with the media narrative, whatever the current media narrative is, and that might contradict what the media narrative was, a year ago, which it has many times. Remember they were complaining about all the executive orders Trump was doing, but they're okay with the 60 odd that Biden's doing. So what are you gonna do? So I did some math because they got all these bills coming out, and it's a this one's a $2 trillion, or this is a $1.9 trillion, and this is a this trillion and a that trillion, and we're $30 trillion in friggin' debt already, with unfunded liability. If you were to count to $1 trillion, and you were able to produce one number per second, it would still take you 31,709 years to count to a trillion. That's how many seconds a trillion is. 31,709 years to count to a trillion. That's how many seconds. That's amazing. So you're going to multiply 31,709 years by three for a 3 trillion. Because it's going to take every year, every trillion will take 31,709 years to count to. I mean, who has that kind of time anyways? So yeah, that's what's going on. Anybody want to call in? Like I said, the number is, I had it. I'll tell you what it is. 516-387-1705. So, the media narrative, I have a few friends that I can count on to spout the media narrative. I've basically stopped posting anything political on or even anything like constitutional, because I thought that might be safe. You know, politics, you get swarmed with people shouting you down and all that. So I said, okay, I'll post constitutional stuff. So I would post that, and then there would be the same people throwing spitballs. I got friends, you know. Well, I would ask them, what are your solutions? My solution is, you know, to follow this, the Constitution, you know. And he just never would answer. He would never answer that question. He would obfuscate. And he would, where did you get that information? I used original source documents. So then he wrote back, this is in the, you know, in the comments and stuff. He wrote back and he's like, so I was looking for this website called Original Source Documents. I couldn't find it. And I was like, you're an idiot. Because there's no one place that has all the original source documents. You got to do some searching and you got to dig around. If I'm quoting from a book, that's an original source document. I will cite that book. Other people, you know, are that would spout the media narrative that I can count on for them to spout the media narrative. We'll talk about how racist or white supremacist the prior administration was. Like, I don't get that, you know. And everything that they would post would be these clever memes that spouted the media narrative. And I'm convinced that I have at least two friends, or I don't know, former friends, whatever, that actually get their news memes. They'll go to Occupy Democrats, or they'll go to Not My President, or they'll go to, you know, Democrat Socialists, or they'll go to, you know, whatever those guys put out. That's where they get their news. That's the height of narrative. So anyways, I'm gonna keep it kicking. Hopefully, G-Ski will be joining us. I'm just going to send him a quick little note. All right, so hopefully he'll be able to get back to me. But in any case, I'm trying to focus here. I got a million things that running through my head. I posted a little while ago that. If there's anybody who waiting around to be told that COVID is done, you know, that's never, ever, 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 ever going to happen at this point. Anybody that the media narrative type people anybody who would say that they would believe, as I see it, have them right where they want them. They have everybody. They have the control and power that they want. They're not going to willingly give it up. So I posted that, and then one of my narrative friends, and maybe that's what I'll call them, my narrative friends, because they know the media. He says, "Well, I'm glad that administration just got voted out." And I read that, and I was like, How to respond? Well, this guy is a guitar player, and so I said to him, I said, "Hey, I got a gig on New Year's Eve." I said, "Did you ever find anybody to play with and to sing that who could sing?" And he goes, "Yeah, well, I'm waiting for all this COVID BS to be done before I start looking around for that." So then I wrote back and I said, "Reference my post." And I dropped the mic. He wrote some other stuff. No, this is real. I work up at the hospital. We get cases and cases. Thing, you can have plenty of cases. What does that mean? With a disease or a virus that has a 99.8% survival. You know what I mean? So I'm not really worried about it. I'll take my chances because I have an immune system. You know, I understand if somebody else has, you know, some what they call comorbidities or some other issues, some other things that would be exacerbated by this particular virus. I get it. Wear your mask, you know, if that's it. But if you have a mask on, for example, and you see me without one, and you're telling me to put one on, if you have one, you should be fine. You don't need to make me wear one. I'm not scared. I'm not worried. If you're scared and worried, wear your mask. That's basically where it is. I won't judge. I won't whatever. Everybody has their own story. Doesn't matter to me. But don't, you know, if I have to go into wear a mask to go in the store, I guess I have to. I don't like it. You know, it's a pain. It tickles the inside of my nose, so I'm always touching my face anyways. So it kind of defeats the purpose there. Anyways, let's try and check in. We covered a lot of ground over the last couple shows. Basically, it was from my two books. I was reading some stuff, and we talked about cancel culture and the origins of it. And it comes from a thing called critical theory. You may have heard it with some other adjectives in there. You have critical race theory, you have critical sex theory or whatever, critical gender theory, critical women's theory. I don't even know all of them. But it can be boiled down to critical theory that was discussed. And, psychologists had sat around in a circle, you know, with legal pads, writing down the best ideas that people would talk about, and they would discuss those and say, "Okay, how do we do that? Okay, how do we do that? Okay, how do we do that?" So, I mean, this has been going on. That all originated from the Frankfurt School in Germany, and now it's taught to kindergartners. Critical theory: anything that has any value must be criticized. Anything that is the status quo or the way society has been for the past, you know, couple hundred years. So,
hey,
we got G Ski with us.
What's up,
everybody?
What's going on?
I sent you a note to find out if I was even broadcasting. Am I?
yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
it took a little bit longer than I thought to everything.
No problem.
Off. I'm on a machine doing a thing. So, yeah, we're straight.
All right.
Good to go. You know, I think that we share part of a brain because the first thing that you talked about was Biden's press conference. And that's of the things. Yeah, that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about.
Well, that's the most recent thing that really, you know, of note that happened because, you know, it was his first press conference in 60-odd days. That's unheard of.
65
days. That is unheard of.
Hasn't been done in 100 years.
So, and not only that, what happened to our State of the Union address? Forget it.
Right. Yeah, forget that. Mm-mm, not him.
No, sir. That is actually in the Constitution.
Yes, it is.
It says it's from time to time. So, you know, I guess maybe he still hasn't. And it doesn't have to be delivered orally. It can be delivered on paper. You can just,
right.
You know, so in fairness. But, you know, the tradition of the last, 100 or maybe more, 150 years, has been the president is like chomping at the bit to give a State of the Union address. This is the first one who isn't.
Yep. Yeah. And
so how'd the press conference go?
Well, he came with a notebook that had all the answers to questions that he was going to be given. So he
probably had
a
page. Yeah, probably had a page of people to call on also.
Yes. Every reporter that was called on was pre-selected. And you know this because he had to go to his notebook to see who he was picking next. That's how he did it. And even at one time, he said, "Where am I?"
Yeah,
because he got lost in his own notes. So he's like, "Oh, where am I?" But yeah,
I mean, there are definitely. I mean, at this point, there are two Americas. There are two. I mean, because can you just? I mean, this is how you prove hypocrisy. Okay, put Trump in that role. Have Trump do or say anything that Biden has done, and they'll be all over him.
Right. And even you were talking about the narrative, right?
Yeah, I have friends that I'm now going to call narrative friends.
I like that. They were talking about the children at the border and how they're being separated from their families and all this other stuff and the place in which they're being housed right now, which is the same place that Trump housed them, and Trump got loads and loads of crap for it. They were talking about how it was all inhumane and all this other stuff. What Biden has done, and nobody said anything. He has cut off media access to those facilities.
Can you imagine? I can't even imagine if Trump had done did something shit like that. Unbelievable.
Yeah. They've been denied access now.
But they're okay with it.
Are they saying anything? It's okay. Yeah. That's what kills me. That's what kills me. They're okay with that. And like you said, if Trump would have said that, if Trump would have did that, all hell was going to break loose. But, yeah, he basically denied them access. They can't see the they can't see those facilities until they get it straightened out. We're going to do something about it, you know. We'll let you guys in once we get everything all straightened out. But right now,
once we get the Potemkin village all set up. I mean, you know it. That's what they've already showed them. They let them down there, and it was apparently some kind of a, you know, fake Potemkin, you know, representation of what's really going on.
Right. It was crazy because if you watch the press conference, he spent most of the time looking down at his notes. He would look down at his notes. He would call what person was next on his list, and they would ask, prepare questions, and then answer that question based on notes. And he's looking down at his notes the whole entire time.
Hey, just a little note here. You're cutting in and out, so I don't know if there's something going on, or you have a loose cord or something. It's just you're cutting in and out. I don't know if I am or not, but
you are not. I guess I am.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to do some checking. It might be my connection.
All right.
I've got a couple connections that I can connect to at my house, and right now I did notice that I am on the weaker ones.
Ah, yeah, that might be it, because it's like we're getting most of the word, but like the word is getting cut off. We can still hear what you're saying basically, but it's annoying.
Yeah. Well, let me back out and
yeah, check all right.
On, and I'll see if I can just better.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna mute myself right now and do some
all
stuff.
All right, cool. Yep, I'll pick it up there. I'll carry it on. I'll go back to what I was talking about my narrative friends. And for the last 3 years, 3.5 years-ish, every day, multiple times a day, these posts that would go out onto Facebook that would be calling Trump an idiot or a clown or an ass hat or an ass clown or, you know, whatever they could think of, a racist, a white supremacist. Not only that, then it got to all these people that support him are you know, this and that. And I'm like, well, I support him, you know. So all the hate that was spewed multiple times a day for the past couple 3 years on Facebook, for instance, because I haven't been on Twitter very much at all. It's like if you're standing on the side of the road and there's like a puddle there, and then every time a car goes by, you know, it sprays you with that with the water and all the hate that just, you know, maybe you weren't aiming for me, but you got me. And now I'm pissed off at you because of it. You know, it's not of the two of us. It's not me that kept calling you an idiot, an asshat, a clown, a supremacist, a racist, a white supremacist. Me? Really? I'm a white supremacist. Okay. You know, of the two of us, it is you that has driven the wedge between us. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't mean me. Okay. Well, too bad. Too bad. Because every time you drove that car through that puddle, it sprayed all over me. And, you know, at this point, it's like you need to reap the dividends of all of that by me saying to you, screw you. I've had enough. Don't ever talk to me. Don't ever call me. You know, you're just too stupid to even bother with. You know, you're too far gone with some of that stuff that you were posting. Too far gone. So, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it right now. I've been sprayed with that hate. I didn't ask for it. I didn't do anything to them. You know, I didn't say anything. It's just every time they'd post something, it'd be like the car driving by that mud puddle that I'm standing next to, and it would just cover me. Everything it would just cover me. Well, you know what? First of all, I would say 95% of what people believe about Donald Trump is either just plain not true. It's made up, it's embellished, or it's manufactured made up. You know, I mean, you go back to all the different things. All right. So maybe he had something with Stormy Daniels. Okay. And he paid off, and he paid a non-disclosure agreement. It's not hush money. That's an agreement. And it's, she's the one that broke it, you know, but did she get in trouble for that? Maybe. I don't know. So okay. So we can believe that. All right, fine. Is he perfect? No, he's led a full life. He didn't always plan on running for president. Those people that start grooming by the time they're 12 to become president, they're squeaky clean, you know, and they have PR people from that age on. So that's how they get by, and that's how they, you know, they come up with stuff that won't stick. So we'll move on from that to Putin helped him get elected. The election was stolen. To me, what that means is they are so out of touch. Democrats, for example, are so out of touch that they can't even realize how many people support the Make America Great Again message. Because it's logical. You know, why do you want to tear down the country that you live in? You know, why is it so bad? So what ends up happening is they tear it down, but they figure everybody hates the country because they have the media, they have academia, they have all these little bubbles that not everybody partakes in. And I think when Hillary didn't win and she knew she was going to, that's why it had to be stolen. It means they didn't cheat quite enough. Because if you do one vote, one ID, I instead of one man, one vote type of thing, you do one vote, one ID. If there's one vote per ID, I think they would go down so far. They would get kicked so – the foot would be so far up their ass. That's how hard they would get kicked. It would come up their nose. If they did one vote per ID, that's why it's racist. That's why it's racist to – oh, no kidding. Smokey from Texas. What's up, buddy? That's why it's racist to have a voter ID law. I want somebody to explain to me, without sounding racist, how voter ID is racist. Because you're going to start saying things like, well, you know, people in that community are scared of the government and they don't want anybody knowing who they are, and okay. There's a lot of people in that minority community that can't get IDs, and really? Okay, that sounds pretty racist, because you think they're too stupid to get IDs. You think they don't have an ID. They don't ever buy beer. They don't ever go on a plane. They don't ever go to a sporting game. They don't ever go any place where you have to provide your ID. Well, who are those people? Here's the deal. Why don't you produce the people who can't get an ID, and we'll give them IDs? It might be a dozen or so, but we'll give them to them. Why not that? Instead of making the whole nation go with make voter ID laws against the law federally. Excuse me, can't do that. That's what I want. I want somebody to explain to me why without sounding racist themselves, why voter ID is racist. Because my contention is, if you had one vote, one ID, they would lose big. But like I said, they're in their bubble. There's two or three bubbles that they exist in, and you know they just think everybody thinks that way. Well, not the case.
Hello.
Sounds like we've got G Ski back again. I recognize that show.
Yeah.
What show's playing in the background?
Huh?
What show you got? What are you watching in the background?
I don't know. My wife's watching something. Yeah, it's crazy. I had to use my cell phone to call in because I guess the option on here, once you dial in direct, you can't disconnect unless you end the show.
So I tried to
call back in, and it goes, it appears that one host is already hosting the show. Only one host can host at a time. And then it hangs up on me.
You.
And Skype wasn't working. I got a message as soon as I logged in. It said that Skype's not working today. We apologize for the inconvenience.
Oh. Well.
So...
Well, when you were gone, I don't know how much you were able to hear.
I didn't hear anything because I was disconnected.
No, I just started going back to what I was talking about. You know, I had that the narrative friend who for the past 3 years had posted, you know, numerous times a day stuff from like Occupy Democrats or you know, Not My President, or you know, whatever, all those other memes. That's where they get their news, is from memes. So my thing was, you know, listen, dude, I don't care about you anymore, because it wasn't me for the last 3.5 years driving a wedge between you and me. You may not have thought, am I supposed to read what you post and think and see you behind it saying, oh, but not you, though, you know, to me. You know, it's like Rodney Dangerfield and Caddyshack cracking on this hat, you know. But you buy a hat like this and you get a free bowl of soup, and then he looks over and the guy's got a hat and he goes, oh, but it looks good on you, though, you know.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, but every time they do that, it's like I'm standing on the side of the road and next to a puddle, and they just drive by and spray all that hate all over me from the puddle, you know. So that wasn't me that did that. You know what I mean? Of the two of us, it wasn't me that did that. So you're the a-hole. that's where I'm at with those guys. So. And then I started talking about not one man, one vote, but one ID, one vote.
Uh-huh.
That? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Explain to me. I want them to explain to me, and we talked about this before, probably on the first show. Explain to me, without sounding racist, why voter ID is racist. You know?
Exactly.
It's, yeah. Thank you.
And in Georgia, just today they passed those new voter laws here in
Good.
Georgia.
Yeah, I heard
and
that.
And the left went crazy. And
Good.
No, actually, no, I'm sorry. It was yesterday. It was yesterday because Biden spoke on it. He spoke on it at his press conference. But, yeah, they passed them yet. And one of them is all you have to do is put your license number or government-issued ID number on your absentee ballot. What's wrong with that?
Well, obviously, there's nothing wrong with that. What it does is it interferes with their – plan to make everybody basically vote Democrat whether they want to or not.
Right.
That's the problem. What did Biden say about it?
Let me look this. I had it. Let me get it for you. Give me a second here.
All right. While you're doing that, I was going when you were out switching, calling in. I had another thing was instead of making voter ID laws illegal federally, why not just produce those voters who can't get an ID and we'll get them an ID?
Exactly.
Okay. I think there'd be about a dozen all over the country. About a dozen.
Yes. Yeah, he made reference to the Jim Crow laws. He said this is worse than the Jim Crow laws.
This got nothing to
that's
do with
That's
what
he
Jim
said.
Crow. Nothing to do with it. It's just that's the focus group tested word that they've decided to apply to this situation. Unbelievable. We need to expose focus groups. That's what we need to do. That's one of the things we need to do.
Yes.
They're playing with your mind, folks. They're playing with your emotions. That's what focus groups do. When you are heightened with emotion, you turn the dial up. That's the words they use.
Yep.
Whether it's true or not, do you remember the Herndon Alliance, that's what it was.
Yes, right.
Okay,
yeah.
They focus grouped, and get this, to get Obamacare passed, here's what they focus grouped, tested. They tested what words would sway you into supporting Obamacare. That's what they focus grouped. What? and you're gonna laugh again because what they came up with, the biggest phrase that would make the biggest difference in how people felt about Obamacare was, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. That was a focus group tested phrase that they used because it worked. Whether it was true or not didn't matter a hill of beans. Didn't matter a damn. Didn't make a damn.
Nope.
That's focus
group. We did find out that wasn't necessarily true.
We knew that before we found out.
Yeah, we knew that beforehand. We knew all about Obamacare. They didn't know what was in Obamacare. Remember what they kept on saying? Yeah,
you have to read it. I mean, you have to pass it before you can read it.
Yeah.
I mean,
gotta pass it so we can find out what's in it.
Can you imagine? We're going to start. Okay, all right, fellow patriots, we are going to break away from Britain. And we are going to start our own country. And in it, we're going to have a legislature, we're going to have a judicial, and we're going to have an executive branch. And when the legislature passes laws, they will pass them, and then you get to read them.
What?
Excuse me? Excuse me? I don't think the guy would have been able to even finish the sentence before they attacked him.
Yeah,
all right, so Georgia did the right thing.
Yes.
Good. That's good because maybe you have a chance there. Where is, and I honestly got to confess, I don't know this. Maybe you do. Where is HR1? I think it's in the Senate right now. Or
I can tell you in a couple seconds. Hold on again.
I just don't know if it's passed anything. I know it passed the House with their 12 seat majority. The thinnest majority in history.
And a matter of fact, Biden made a comment about that too. Yeah, he said we have to pass HR1. Where is HR1?
So as of
activity?
As of yesterday, it's not passed yet.
No.
All right. Because that's the end game.
Yes, last activity, it was received by the Senate on the 11th of March.
Yeah, that's the last.
Yeah, that's the last activity.
That's like Avengers Endgame. It is the absolute end game. If they can get that through, because what that does is make illegal any voting laws, against mail-in voting, against any voter ID, accepting mail-in ballots 10 days after the election. We need to go back to paper ballots and have the answer by the end of the day, for crying out loud. There is no reason that they can't do that. If they're with all the this point has been made too, with all the cameras in a casino where you can see the hair on somebody's nose, you can set up some surveillance in a vote counting place. Was it Lenin that said, doesn't matter who votes, doesn't matter, it only matters who counts those votes? Well, when you get people that are of a certain persuasion and they kick out the people of the other persuasion, which was one of the complaints, and put up paper in the window, it only matters who counts those votes. None.
Exactly.
Absolutely none. And I made this point last week about when we talked about all the lawsuits and all that. If any one of those lawsuits, if any one of those anomalies existed and Donald Trump became the president last election, they would be going over, they would be going bananas. Absolutely bananas.
Right.
On any one of those things. Forget stacking them all up, like they need to be, because they do. They all stack up and they fit nicely together, one on top of the other, on top of the other, on top of the other. Forget all the single things. It's, if you put it all together, it's not enough to sway the, it's not enough to sway the election. Wait a minute. Is that because you say so?
Right.
Hey, we got a couple folks from Texas listening. We have a nobody and we have Smokey. I remember Smokey from Texas, I think.
Yeah. Those are all our old peeps.
They're old homies. What's going on, baby?
Of course.
Well, we appreciate you coming back. Hey. Hopefully we've intrigued you with this with our riveting conversation. It's different this time because we didn't really prep the show. We just kind of got on and started riding.
Yeah, and I have to apologize to Sue. I think she wants to come on. I think she wants to come on. I see a question mark. But first, let me say I have to apologize to her because I didn't send her the link so she can promote it. I just had so much stuff going on, and that slipped away from me. So let me apologize for that. And I'll make sure I get to it next time. But, yeah, I had so much stuff going on. I wasn't feeling well this week. And stuff like that. So
this is the first show that neither of us have promoted, and we have more people here now than we have before.
I am going to bring in Sue because I think the question mark means that somebody wants to come on. So everybody give me a second, and there we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Sue from New Mexico. What's cracking, Sue? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay, G-Ski. I just wanted to let you know, Walk Talk Radio has changed their format and everything. You can no longer go to Blog Talk Radio and search for a show. The category's nothing there. Today there was some spiritual fortune telling thing is the only thing I could get off of Blog Talk. So it's going to be pretty important, you know, if you can, to get me the link to your show, because I can't, you know, research it and stuff like I used to. And then I've got, and then I've got a question and a couple. First, the voter, you know, this HR1 and everything they're trying to pass, isn't that unconstitutional? And will it go to the Supreme Court? The second question I have, and really almost a comment, is it going to be going to the Supreme Court? In the COVID bill, they had, you know, part of that money was going to farmers. The kicker in it was that no white farmer could receive any money. And to me, that's discrimination there. And also, I just saw, I don't know if it was Michigan or where, that they got a big hunk of the COVID money. So they're giving everybody $500 check until the COVID is over, $500 extra a month, except white people. Is that going to go to the Supreme Court? I'm seeing more and more of this. And it really, the farmers got me. My family lost the ranch under Obama. But, and it was my grandma's side. We were fourth generation on the ranch in New Mexico. And on my grandma's side, they came over here as indentured servants from Holland. And so they were in the same boat as the slaves, you know, and so people just need to know some of that stuff like that. But anyway, having a little trouble breathing today, so I'm going to go ahead and get off. I did put your show out with the telephone number, though. I got that.
Hey, Susie.
Okay.
How are you doing, Susie? Great to hear from you.
I'm hanging in there. Oh, I just got to say about the COVID, too. I live in a independent senior living facility. COVID's in our building. We've lost that have died that we know of at least 20, 30 people here. We're still on lockdown. And so for the elderly, you know, and I went to my doctor the other day, first time in a year, because I got the Pfizer vaccine, and this really gets me, it made me really sick. But my doctor told me I can still get COVID even though I got the vaccine. How do you like that? And now they're wanting to vaccinate newborns and children. Please, anybody with children or you know someone, they should not get the COVID vaccine. They're the most resilient to COVID. There's something wrong with these vaccines. And I have been kind of like going downhill ever since I took it. So anyway, that's all I had to say. And I'll let you guys get back to your show. Thank
you. Well, Susie, you don't have to get off.
All right.
Susie, you don't have to get off.
I've got to go back on my BiPAP machine. I'm having trouble breathing.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's great to hear from you. Great to hear you.
Okay, great. We're you guys. Bye.
All right. So, first of all, I'm going to take – I jotted down some of her questions that she posted. I mean, she is phenomenal, okay? I don't know if there's a big enough word for her, what she's always done and what she's gone and continued to do, even after I kind of like – I know I kind of let it go for a little while, you know, and now we're getting back on. But she's been after it the whole time. She asked if HR1 was constitutional. The answer is short.
No.
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 What was the next question? Will that go to the Supreme Court? My thing is, so what if it does? It doesn't mean that those people on the Supreme Court will rule constitutionally. The Supreme Court
exactly. The
Supreme Court is the same entity of the Dred Scott decision, which upheld slavery. The Supreme Court is the same entity of the Korematsu decision, which upheld the detention and the rounding up and detention of Japanese Americans and Americans of Japanese descent in what do you call them in. In holding facilities. What do you call that?
Concentration camps.
Yeah, I don't know.
Concentration camps.
The word escaped me for a minute. So that's not encouraging or uplifting and in any way, shape, or form. But it is, it is what it is. The COVID bill discriminates against whites. I hope that goes to the Supreme Court. It doesn't mean they'll take it. And the same thing with the $500 extra a month for non-whites. That can't be clearer for anybody that's not a narrative. What shall we call them? Narrative bovine. A narrative sheep.
There's
not a lot to discuss after I answer the questions because it's like, no. What else you got? You know what I mean? There's no real uplifting good thing coming out of that, but this is the business we've chosen. No, this is the hand we're dealt. So we have to play it as well as we can.
Right, and then Smokey in the chat, he's got it exactly right. The Supreme Court isn't dependable at all. They're not.
I know. And I don't know how to expose that. I don't know. I mean, it's every time, you know, it's I have this nag in the back of my head. Every time a decision comes by, that goes like against the Constitution, I have this nagging little thought in the back of my head. I'm like, oh, somebody got to them. somebody got to them. Somebody must have gotten to them. How do you...
Right.
That's the only way I can explain it. That's the only way my head can wrap around a stupid decision, you know, or a stupid decision not to take the case of, hey, state legislatures get to make their voting rules, not the secretaries of state or governors.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, we don't want to talk to that. We don't want to deal with that case. Oh, well, I mean, it's only your job. Your job is to uphold the Constitution as best you can, but you don't, but you're not.
Yeah. And John, real quick.
Yeah.
And real quick, with Georgia's new voting laws, they took that power away from the Secretary of State.
Good.
So he can't do that again. At least not in the state of Georgia. I don't know about anywhere else, but at least not in the state of Georgia, he can't do that again.
Yeah.
So they can't go changing stuff and get away with it. So yeah. That's been taken care of.
I mean, for now, you know, I mean, you know, down the road, you got to still be resolute, because down the road you get another legislature. You know, wherever they lose,
right,
that's where they focus their energy, because they're going to change that so that they won't lose that again.
Right. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough fight, not only in Georgia but just in our country. Period. The upcoming midterms are going to be a doozy. And
maybe because Georgia changed their voting laws. That's one.
Right.
You see what I mean? How many others have passed those kind of laws? Nothing yet.
None. Nothing.
I mean,
yet.
Is there anything even in the offing that might, you know, that they're debating now? What other state are debating laws like what Georgia just passed?
I don't think any are. Any at all.
And why
not in Pennsylvania,
that?
Not in Wisconsin, not in Arizona. It's not happening.
All right. Smokey says 43 or so states are trying to do the same as Georgia. I think I've heard. All right. I mean, that would be awesome. That would save the country if they did that, Smokey. The 43, that's kind of drastic. That's a lot.
That's a lot. I haven't heard that, but
at least
a lot.
At least they have bills offered up. Okay, good. I mean, if they have 43 states doing something like that, why can't they get 38 states to do a convention of states constitutional amendment? Then they won't have to worry about the next legislature coming in and changing it.
Right.
You know, if 43 states pass the same laws as Georgia, that's plenty of states, plenty, to pass a constitutional amendment to enshrine in the Constitution what Georgia did, or something, something similar. That's what really needs to be done. What really needs to happen is they need to have a convention of states to amend the Constitution so that they can't do these kinds of things that they're doing. If there was 35 states, 35, 36 states proposing amendments to limit the power of the government and to limit what the progressives are trying to do. They had 35 or 36 states. Do you realize how good point, anybody? Do you realize how scared they would be? You know, since when did anyone follow the Constitution, anybody says? At least, at the very least, you have that to refer to and say, okay, look, you can't legislate above the Constitution. The Constitution is there.
Right.
There's not a lot of other countries that have constitutions, you know, as the highest law.
Right. And you can't legislate above that. Which that's what they're doing it and getting away with it.
Yeah.
They've been doing it and getting away with it for years. And it seems like nobody's trying to stop them. I mean, the only thing that we really had going.
Anybody, let me address your last one. The country will have to burn before it has any chance of recovery. I'm gonna disagree respectfully, because if there was some constitutional amendments that limited the government, the bad fish would get weeded out, I think, by attrition. They would just go away. They would be like, okay, this is not the game for me. I can't get any power doing this. I'm going to have to go and do something else. So they would be out of the government. If there was some good concept, like even term limits. You know, people now get in the government because they're like, all right, I can stay there forever. All I have to do is spout narrative. They'll keep me in. But, well, maybe that won't happen, but maybe it could happen. You know, I believe that it could. If a lot of state legislatures could get together, you need 34 states to propose an amendment.
Yeah.
You need 38 states to ratify it. So, you know, it's a matter of local elections, basically. You know, you need to pay attention to who you're putting into the state legislature and maybe vet them about how they feel about a convention of states. You know?
That is my biggie. I talk to everyone about that. I tell them your local elections are so important. And I just can't get anybody to trust in that. But local elections are very, very important.
Because what's the media narrative on Article 5's Convention of States? What's the media? No. The media can't. Nobody can hijack a convention of states. That's the thing, and that is actually what the narrative is on some of the people, like even on the right. You know, they'll say, oh well, you know, that if you open it up. I was talking with a guy at the last election at the thing. I was like, all right, the guy running for local Congress, state legislature. And I was like, all right, how do you feel about convention of states? And then his buddy with him said, yeah, but you can't open it up. You got to put it on as a referendum on the ballot. Like, what do you mean, open what up? You need 34 states to agree on a topic and language on the topic. 34 states. None of those states are going to allow crazy crap to get through. So that's a false narrative. That's just a fear. That's a fear that you have. So and even if it got through, you still need 38 states to say, oh yeah, we'll go along with that craziness. You know, so it's a high bar. There's nobody hijacking. And it was designed that way. Nobody's hijacking the convention of states.
Yeah, this was something that we talked about what, 7-8 years ago.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we discussed this 7-8 years ago. I think Mark Levin write a book about it.
Yeah, it was called the Liberty Amendment,
yeah.
And we lost some friends along that way.
Yeah, yes, we did. Yes, we did. I remember that quite clearly.
There was people saying, you know, when he was promoting his book, he got on TV and he says, you know, I'm not going around proposing amendments. But then they were saying, well, what's he doing? He's proposing amendments. He wasn't proposing amendments. He was proposing ideas for amendments. Anybody can do that. To propose
exactly.
an amendment, to propose an amendment, you need 34 states to agree on language and content. You know, it's not him proposing amendments. That's not a proposed amendment when you throw out an idea. That's not proposing an amendment.
Right.
It's a little more to it than that. And we lost friends over there.
Yeah.
Well, screw them.
Yes, it's sharing an idea.
I mean, I can propose an amendment in that, you know, in that case.
Right.
And so can you,
yeah.
by the way, or anybody here.
Yes, that was a tough time for us. Because we lost a lot of friends. But we still made it.
Let me see if I can get anybody to call in and explain what he's talking about. There's only one way. Play the game they play and beat them at it. 100 million people pony up 50 to 100 bucks and we lobby them. And we out-lobby them. We take their stick and beat them with it. So give us a call if you want anybody, and let's hear it. I'm open to it.
Oh, yeah. We're here. We're here for ye. And if you don't know, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. Once again, that's 516-387-1705. Call in. We can debate all this stuff. That's what we do. That's why this show is here.
Yeah,
of course, it's going to get better and better. It's going to get better and better when we do more and more shows. Right now we're just getting our stuff together right
we're
now.
We're getting our sea legs back. Hey,
yeah,
getting
our sea legs back.
Listen, I need to I'm going to step away for a minute. So I'll be back in a minute. I just want to check something.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Dave is stepping away, y'all. He's stepping away. I want to go back to Biden's press conference, because it was so comical. The Washington Post, this is the headline of the Washington Post article after Biden's press conference. Biden's press conference was elder abuse. I just thought that headline was the best, because that's what it was. It was elder abuse. He was having a hard time. He babbled most of the time, especially you always notice when Biden's doing something, whether he's speaking, he's watching that teleprompter, or doing other things, he's got notes. He's always got notes. And in this press conference, he had a cheat sheet. He had a cheat sheet with all of the reporters already selected and their questions. They were pre-written questions. And he, of course, he had the answers to those questions in his notes. Yeah, he had a binder full of notes. No president, I can't remember a president that did his first presser and he brought notes, and all the reporters were pre-selected, their questions pre-screened and answered already in
right
his
back.
Notes, in his cheat sheet. So yeah, I mean, it was a thing of it was comic relief That's what
it was. A horror show.
So, yeah. I was telling them the Washington – I'm sorry, not the Washington Post, the Washington Times. Their headline was Biden's press conference was elder abuse.
His presidency is elder abuse.
Yes, his presidency is elder abuse. But, oh, man, that thing was a disaster. Anyways.
I had to step away for a sec because my wife came down with a couple of flashlights, and I was like, what's going on? She says, I don't know. I heard a big noise outside, and the dogs started going crazy. So, I mean, we couldn't see any trees down or anything, but
yeah,
it's kind of windy.
Yeah,
but everything seemed fine.
A couple months ago, I had a tree smash our new SUV.
Yeah.
And I mean, the tree was dead. It's my neighbor's tree. I had to fight with his insurance company and all this other stuff. It was terrible. So of course they didn't want to pay. I think Antibody is here.
Oh. Cool.
There is another number that popped up. I'm not sure if that is Antibody. If that is you, just let me know in the chat. So we'll be good to go. Go ahead and hit the one and let me know that you want to talk. That's the easiest way to do it. So there we go. I'm assuming that's Antibody. So I'm going to go ahead and bring him in. And there you are. Welcome to the Dave and GC Rock Show. How you doing today?
Been a long time since you've been out there.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
Well, thanks for coming.
No, I haven't actually seen you all doing Blog Talk Radio for a while.
About 6 or 7 years, I think.
Yeah. It's been a long minute.
So this is a nobody, right? How do you want us to call you? What do you want us to call you?
John.
All right, John. All right, got it. So you posted something in the chat room that says the only way there's only one way to play the game they play and beat them at it. 100 million people pony up 50 to 100 bucks, and we lobby and we out lobby them, and we take their stick and beat them with it.
Well, because I've run two Senate campaigns against John Cornyn and failed. I completely understand the system now, since I was able to access GOP database in 2020 for Friday.
All right,
that's interesting.
So and I've been saying probably for 10 years that we don't even have elections. But I was able to confirm that 100% because of the primaries last March and what I learned on the databases. So what happened in November was like nothing to me, because I already knew that we didn't have elections. So when you mentioned
can I ask a question at this point? If we don't have elections, how do you explain Trump getting elected in 2016?
Okay, I got that figured out, because I'm a member of True the Vote down in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
At the time before the election, because they've been vetting voters registration for years, so it was estimated probably 8 to 10 million votes in that election in 2016 were fraudulent, but what happened was Trump overcame it.
That's what I knew.
That's what I said earlier. That was a fluke. But then they weren't too worried about it, because they knew they had the goods on him. They knew they could draw a line that he couldn't pass, and he was clear. I knew the first State of the Union address, his first State of the Union address, when he addressed the opioid issue, that they got to him. He didn't cross that line. He never crossed the line to really harm pharma. He never took Obamacare down like he said he would. There were things that he wasn't allowed to touch, and he knew not to touch them. He wanted to keep the White House eventually breathing. So they, to a sense, damage controlled the whole 4 years he was there.
Right.
So they weren't going to make the same mistake twice. And I told everybody that they're never going to make that same mistake twice. I said something big is coming up to take this, to completely control this election hands down. And yep. I never seen it. I never dreamed that big, but I got to hand it to them. They did a very, very good job. Take it.
Yep. All right. So I mean, at this point, that's exactly. I even touched on that earlier in the show. I think it was before you got here. I was like, you know, there's always been the fraud, and the Democrats just didn't do quite enough of it. That's how Trump got elected. So I'm on the same page with you on that. Then they, like you said, and you know, I can easily see where they say, okay, this is never going to happen again. And then last week, I think on our show, I was talking about where, you know, when you see Nancy Pelosi absolutely guaranteeing that Trump won't be the next president, or even Joe Biden talking to a group, you know, I don't need you to help me get elected. I need you to help me after I'm elected. Well, now you know the fix is in. I mean, because we talked about it at the time. You know, it is like GC and I, we talked about it last week. You know, and it's like we were saying, okay, I thought they were out of touch, you know, and I thought they were going to be in for a big surprise because of all the Trump trains, all the caravans, the Trump caravans, all the boat things, you know, all the stuff, you know, and the other guys in the friggin' basement. There's no way that they're gonna do this. But the reason he was in the basement is because, like you say, they got this other thing going on, they're supremely confident that, you know, they're not going to get caught. The media is not going to out them. So, all right. So I'm on the same page with you so far.
You guys are sharing the same ideas.
Similar, but you know, so what brought me to the point of saying that we have to out-lobby them is because we're not going to get any laws changed. We're not going to get term limits. We're not the fox is not going to, you know, guard the hen house. The fox is going to eat
right.
The hen. So, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that's where we're at. So they've got the courts, they've got the media, they've got Congress, they've got everything under their thumb. So the only way you can beat them now is if you get enough people together, unified, and pony up some money, okay, and then you force this stuff. Because if you've ever lobbied, you know how it works. The way it works is when you show up in front of Congress and you present your case at the podium, they allow both sides to speak. And whoever has the most people there, biggest pack check, that's where the vote goes, 100% of the time. So if you show up to the podium and you have a mob outside the Congress like it was there on the 6th backing you up, and your check is bigger than pharma's or insurance's pack check, then the laws go your way because you're the one financing the reelections, not those other guys. So the only way to do it is you have to raise more money, get unified, show up with more people, and just dictate what your agenda is. And that's what we've done. I've done that on a state basis. And in a single year, we did 19 out of 20 bills we tried to get through that we hand-wrote ourselves.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So
pretty impressive.
Absolutely. That was 90.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So I came up with the idea that's probably the only way we're going to win because we can't. I tried to get a good friend of mine elected senator. twice against John Cornyn, because we had a really solid plan if they got to just take up Washington real quickly. But kind of like the what's his name, Madry Green on steroids kind of thing.
Say that again. I say that again. No, I didn't hear. What is it? On steroids?
I'm going to send it like 14 and 20.
Yeah.
Against John. And we had a solid plan to get this Dwayne Sobel in there and completely turn Washington upside down.
Yep.
Some lines of Madry Green, Taylor Green, or whatever her name is, but something like her on steroids.
It didn't work. We found out the elections were not only just rigged, but illegally rigged.
Right.
Our votes are not, our ballots are not secret. Yeah. Both parties know what everybody votes. Every household.
Yes.
So this myth about secret ballots is a myth. And that gives them a lot of power. They know who to target.
Well,
they pretty much know everything about everybody. They know your household income, everybody who lives in the house, your occupation.
How do they use that?
Well, the way I probably should be telling you this, but the way we used it in the campaign was just here in Texas, we got 30 million people. You're not going to finance to try and reach 30 million people because you're not going to get through to 15 million of them.
Okay.
So you don't want to waste any money. You don't want to waste any money trying to target somebody because, you know, they charge. We did like mass text messages by the million, right? And you pay for it based on how many texts you put out. So you don't want to spend 15 million texts with people you're not going to reach anyway. So you weed out. You have a data person who goes through that massive database and weeds out the right programs to weed out the best people for your situation, and that's who you target.
Okay.
That's
interesting also.
But that's the reason I know there are no elections. The GOP and the DNC work together. It's broken. You're not going to get the rules changed. Congress makes the rules, and they're already dirty, and the Supreme Court is already dirty. So you're not going to get these people. I think it's the FBI or the DOJ to do their job correctly. It's a dirty system. So the only way you can beat them is at their own game. You play the game that they play and just be better at it.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a huge task.
That is. That's a huge thing.
But, I mean, the question is, how do we get better at it?
That's a great question.
Well,
that's a great question.
We have the resources. We have the technology.
We've been trying for years. I think probably the Tea Party was probably the closest that we ever got to it. But even that fell apart and dissolved.
Amongst my close peers here, the consensus is you're not going to get everybody on the same page until they get hungry.
So
that's the reason.
Let me drop in here with an observation that I've had over the last couple of 5 or 10 years, and that is people on our side are more rule of law people.
Yes.
So we're not as willing to go out in the street and throw a freaking Molotov cocktail.
Exactly.
Whereas people on the other side, not only are they willing to throw a Molotov cocktail, they're willing to count 60,000 illegal votes. They're willing to, look the other way when when the president's son has a laptop of drug addiction and pornography or whatever it was. They're willing to look the other way when the president has blackmailed Ukraine. You know what I mean? So
yeah, but that's by design, though. That's by design. It's completely by design.
I know. I realize that. That's what I'm saying is we're not playing by the same set of rules because we want to follow the Constitution. We want to follow the rules. We want to follow the laws, and they throw the laws out the rule book out the window.
Yeah, but we got 535 whores in Congress that if we can grease them better than the other guys, they're gonna kiss our ass.
Okay, I see your
it's
point.
Basically, somebody comes to you and says, you're selling your car. One guy comes up to you, I'll give you $5,000 for your car. The other guy comes up to you, says, I'll give you $10,000 for your car. You're gonna take the $10,000.
Yeah.
It's the same way with Congress.
I see your point. I see your point. But I just, you know, even with that point, there's people that are ideologically driven. And,
oh, absolutely.
And the people on one side are, you know, will follow the rules. The people on the other side won't follow the rules. So,
that's
the amount that you have to overcome with dollars and cents, I mean, you know, you're going to have some people in there, no amount of money that you give them.
Well, with the current situation, yes, because nobody's starving. That's why I said the country's got to burn first before it'll recover. Once
right, that's kind of a drastic statement. That's why I called you out on it.
because you know what? We're parallel in 1861. Pre-1861, we had this massive federal debt, and they couldn't get out of it because all the wars prior. So basically the Civil War was a bankruptcy. They got rid of the greenback. They started the dollar. It was a bankruptcy. But the media sold it the way they sold it, same way they sold us. We need to go to Afghanistan to go get bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
No, we went to Afghanistan to control poppy so we could have an opioid massive profit for the pharma and create an opioid issue via the Chinese. Because only poppy is the only thing that's more lucrative and profitable than oil. That's why we went to Afghanistan before Iraq. So basically pharma paid Congress to, in the media, whatever, to create this illusion that we're going to Afghanistan to go get terrorism. But we actually were there for money.
Wasn't bin Laden in Afghanistan?
Well, when the very first initial release happened, but he moved into Pakistan quickly. He wasn't there when we got there. He might have been there when we initially got there, but I don't think that was the motivation. That was just the sales pitch. Same as the Civil War. The Civil War was sold to everybody because we're going to free the slaves. It had nothing to do with the slavery. It had to do with the economy at the time and the issues between the North and the South. It was a money thing. It was a land grab. It was a money thing. And it was a bankruptcy. It was a chance to restart over, kill the current currency.
Maybe you know more about that than I do, but I thought it was mostly to free the slaves.
No. I mean, if you go back, there's some YouTube.
Wasn't that at least a byproduct?
Oh, of course it was a byproduct. Absolutely, it was a byproduct. Absolutely. But you know, that's probably the only good thing that came out of it. Because the economic parts of it were pretty bad. Now, anyway.
Right, but when you go back and you read the writings of, you know, like Abraham Lincoln, or you read his speeches, or, you know, and you...
They were part of it. Go read the soldiers fighting the front lines. There's actually some videos of people who, like, in their late 80s, early 90s.
Okay.
So everybody in the South said the same thing, either in writing or that they were fighting for state rights. It had to do with slavery. They were fighting for state rights because 13 states seceded before. What happened was the states didn't agree. You were talking about the states doing a constitution of the state. what happened was, similar situation, okay?
You mean a convention of faith.
They didn't agree, so they seceded.
Right.
Because they seceded, the North said, screw you, we're going to come down there and take it. And that's what happened.
Because they wanted to maintain a union. I mean,
no, because their industries were failing, and the South was making a lot of money
with slaves.
The South economy is doing good, partially because of slavery.
Yeah.
But the plantations and the stuff that was going on in the South is booming.
So
the North was.
Let me just apologize right now for once in a while when all that background noise. G-Ski's on a dialysis machine doing the show, so. So when you hear that noise, he's unmuting his microphone and he's you know, maybe he's got something to say. That's the reason, because he's got a health issue that he has to take care of with a dialysis machine. So that's what all that
that's
other noise
good.
Is. So,
that's not good.
Yeah, it's not good, but he's dealing with it. So that's, I just wanted to explain that. All that background noise that was coming on. So, anyways, I definitely appreciate you calling in and explaining your thing. I get what you're saying about the out lobby thing. I'm gonna have to process for a little while. Because it makes sense. But like I said, like I think I already mentioned, I'm still kind of hanging on to the whole ideology aspect of that, where no amount of money is gonna sway some of those people. Like AOC, you know, she's not gonna leave her platform for any amount of money. She's
with
there.
With enough money, you can back the person that's running against her and have them win. You can eliminate her.
All right,
it's all about.
Fair enough.
They'll pony up, and you target people like that. You can beat them at their own game.
All right.
So you can call the AOCs, and you can get rid of the Pelosi's. You can get rid of whoever you want if you have enough money. Then that's your political clout. That's your big stick.
But they have so much money, and they have, and all they do is raise money. That's all they do.
Yeah.
I mean, who the hell has time for that? You know, I'm working. Two jobs, you know.
You have to have an organization like the NRA or something like that, you know, that spearheads it. You know, I actually started a nonprofit 3 years ago, and I spent thousands on it. Couldn't even get a mortgage, so it's not going to die. Yeah, it's not die; it's still there, but I haven't been pushing. I don't want to be the only person carrying the torch.
Right. No, that's good. So you come to Blog Talk Radio to recruit people. Is that what we're getting?
No. I came on there because Sue tweeted it out without link, and then Brian put a link out there. And
yep.
I said, man, I haven't seen you guys forever, man. So I tuned in.
That's awesome. Well, definitely, we appreciate that. GC, my brother. What's going on?
Yes, I just wanted to come back and say I understand what he's saying. I believe what he's saying. I've processed what he's saying.
Yeah.
But once again, it's been tried, though. Like I said, the Tea Party was the closest that we ever got to that. The Tea Party had so much power. I know that because I was involved with them for so long. And
me too.
The Tea Party, the Tea Party was getting gangs of money. The Koch brothers was always contributing. I mean, we had the funding. The funding was there, but I don't know what happens. It just falls apart. Everything just falls apart. I don't know what it is.
You have to have two parts, the money and the numbers. You have to have the physical numbers, too. The Tea Party is strong.
No, wait. They did. That not only the money, Glenn Beck had 500,000 people at the Lincoln Memorial.
Right.
Remember that one? I forgot what the name of his thing was, but it was like, 500,000 to 600,000 people down there. That's a lot.
Sounds big. It's not, though. It's not what, to move the country one direction or another, you're going to have more than 50% on the same page. So that's the critical hard thing to pull off. You know, the Tea Party wasn't anywhere near 51% of the country, or 52 or 55. The more past.
Well, wait a minute. You're looking at actual percentage versus perceived percentage, and it's my contention that when you have the media, when you have academia, when you have all those other, you know, all the other narrative, it looks like you have a majority when you don't. That's what I was saying. When Trump won back in 2016, it was because they didn't cheat quite enough, and that's the only
exactly
way he got away with it. That's why it had to be Russia's fault.
But also with the power of numbers, what comes in, not just the power of money, is because if we have issues with, if more than 50% on the same page, you have an issue with, say, CNN, you can kill CNN easily. You just tank their ratings. Or say for an oil company, say all of us together as an organization, 51% of the United States, could buy an Exxon gas and put it back. Okay, we buy Shell or anything else, and we buy Exxon. Okay? And you send Exxon, who's your daddy? And then you turn around after you do that and say, who's next? You want to check? And you can control the market. There's a lot of strength in numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to welcome Green Beasley to the conversation. We appreciate you coming in and hanging out with us. G-Ski, that TV is really coming in loud on this end. Just got to tell you.
All right. So hold on a second.
I don't know if it's a door or doors open or something. That's better. I don't know. He muted his mic to fix it. Oh, Green Beasley left. Okay. All right. Well, you know.
No, it's a difficult situation. I was on the same page as you in 2012 when I first met Dwayne when his first Senate camp run in 2014. I met him in 2012. Mm-hmm. And we debated for hours and hours and hours and hours. And at the end of the conversation, I said, you know, I still believe we can salvage this thing. And he said, no, we can't. He had told me at that time it has to burn first. Everybody has to be hungry. It has to burn first before we can salvage it. And I bet him. I made a bet in 2012. And after the primary this last March, I paid him.
Wow. Yeah. Well.
Because I saw what he saw. I got it by that time. Took me.
Who was it that you were talking to? Who'd you make a bet with?
Dwayne Stovall. He ran against Stovall. John Cornyn twice.
Okay. So why does Dwayne Stovall know what none of us know? Why did he see it so long ago? What does he do?
The reason being is because he's so dipped into politics because he knew he was going to run for Senate in 2014 from prior to that. So he got heavily into it, heavy into the Constitution, heavy into the Federalist Papers.
Yep.
And he made friends state level. So he knew all the state congressmen. And he got to be, like this last term, he got to be really friends with Thomas Massie.
Mm-hmm.
And so he learned a lot of stuff from – and he's also really close friends with Louie Gohmert. And that's probably the two congressmen I think are the best.
He's pretty good. I got to say, Texas has probably the best congress people. So thanks.
So he knew what was involved if he got in. He knew the game, and he planned his plan around that. He knew that if he could get the Senate seat from Cornyn, that they would assign minders to him, or actually lawyers, that are under the guise of, you know, we're gonna take care of you, make sure you do, you know, blah blah blah, but they're really minders. The kind of like if you go into the old communist Russia where they follow you, or communist China where they follow you around and watch what you're doing. That's what happens to the new people coming into Congress.
I can believe
it. They're indoctrinated.
Yep. You know, this is how things work here. Yeah, and that's why I think we mentioned in one of the last couple of shows where. When Trump was first elected and he was given a speech and he talked about draining the swamp, Mitch McConnell goes in there when he was meeting with the leaders in Congress the first thing he said was, and like I said, this is a hearsay thing, but it's totally believable. You walk in and tell the new president, that's enough of the drain the swamp crap.
Yeah,
you know, totally believable.
The swamp never got drained. You know, the big issues never got touched. Education, we still probably, last I looked, we were ranked 105 in the world for IQs of high school graduates.
So sad. That is so sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it never got touched. Even the Trump administration, that was a taboo subject. He couldn't go there because that's part of the deal. I mean, if you're going to control
people, they have
more
money. Yeah, they have more clout.
Yeah, control them. So that's part of the deal to keep control of the country. This has been going on for really since maybe within 15 or 20 years after we became a country, late 1700s. Yeah. There were some Supreme Court cases that changed the way things were working in the late 1700s. So this has been in the works. I mean, if you read the Federalist Papers, everything they warned us about was how they would take control and put us in a situation where we're in. That's all.
Yeah,
and
the Anti-Federalist Papers turned out to be exactly right. Yes.
So and that's the roadmap that they've been following since the inception, since just after 1776. So it's not something that, you know, people say, oh, it happened during the Civil Rights when they changed when they destroyed the black family by taking the male out and making it the entitlements for the women to have a bunch of babies and be able to make a bunch of money not working. Yeah. You know, that was a tiny factor, but it was a factor. But that kind of trend has been going on, I think, since, like I said, before the 1800s. It's all been working the same direction.
What what was it when they decided to have judicial review? That was probably the big one. When they back then, and when they first started out, they decided that they need to be able to compare legislation to the Constitution, and that they would you know, be the deciders of whether a law is constitutional. However, that I think that obviously has been perverted for, you know, on many different cases and many different levels. So, you know, people are asking, you know, I you probably haven't been to the last couple of shows, but I think I mentioned to D. Ski that, you know, I had, you know, people that I know that were telling me, you know, probably like three months ago or stuff, you know, they were like, you know, don't worry, Trump is going to be our president, and, you know, it's going down and that type of thing. And I was like, well, I said, first of all, I want to believe you. I really hope you're right. You know, all these arrests that are going to be made, those guys are going to jail and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, I said, but who's going to prosecute it? Because we had Bill Barr, who was supposed to be the big brass balls, and he folded like a cheap suit. And then, you know, where are you gonna take it? Even if you get somebody, are you gonna take it to the Supreme Court? Okay.
That's why I made the statement we have to burn first. Because either we do if the miracle, which is out lobbying, beat them at their own game, and just force our hand, or it collapses and people get hungry enough to drive more people to see what we see because of starvation or physical being out in the streets or whatever, or not having power or rolling blackouts, or we turn into a third world country situation, then people are going to wake up and say, how did this happen? You know,
when it gets to that point, there's nothing really anybody can do legally. I mean, look at Venezuela. Why haven't they
that's
fixed
why you
this?
Start over. You go back to the basics. You start clean and you start fresh.
All right, so, but who's going to write the Constitution?
Keep the same Constitution. You don't change it. The founders made it plain speak, so it wouldn't need interpretation.
But there'll be those that want to change it. There'll be those that want to rewrite it to make it better, quote unquote better.
Yeah.
What would they change? You know what I mean? They would change.
Well, right,
they would put critical theory into it.
If they had carte blanche right now, we're going to be gone. Carte blanche right now, which they do pretty much, we wouldn't have We'd be complete. Everything would be state owned. Everything would be owned by the big corporations, which is really essentially state owned.
You should go back and listen to our last two shows because I talked exactly about this. Listen to this podcast.
That's the direction it's heading. So yeah. There's only two ways to stop it. It collapses, and we start fresh, all new government, everything, you know, from the ground up, Mad Max kind of a situation.
I don't see that really working out, for a good thing.
No, I don't either. That's the reason it'd be nice to avoid it. I don't either. That's the reason it'd be nice to avoid it. I don't see that.
No, but I mean, even if it all burned down, you say, okay, it's all got to burn. Okay, so what comes out of that? Well, what good comes out of that?
Well,
that's my question.
Post Civil War, people came together. They worked together. It actually accelerated quite quickly post Civil War. They did the what do you call it when people go out west? Everybody got like I think 600 acres or something, I forgot what it was called, homestead.
Okay.
They passed the homestead and started the migration west and started ranching and stuff, and brought up beef started coming up, and we started eating better. We started, our kids started growing to be taller because they were meat and potato people. So came from the Civil War, post Civil War too. So that's what I mean. If the country burned during the Civil War. And it restarted again. And I think we're paralleling it. I think there's a lot of the circumstances are very similar now. The only difference is it's not a black and white thing. Now they're trying to enslave everybody. They want everybody working for a corporation, making X amount of dollars per year. You get your 1 week vacation, you'll exist. You'll pay your you pay your roof of bed, you'll pay your electricity, but you'll exist. And that's not living. That's not freedom. Freedom is traveling the world, seeing the world. Freedom is what you do when you're not working.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
So we're gonna become a surfer.
Hey, GC.
I had to chime in for a second.
Go ahead.
I agree with most of what he said about after the Civil War. However, what happened was after the Civil War, they found smarter ways to punish communities that they disagreed with.
That's what they did to the
blacks. They found a smarter way.
Oh, yeah.
To punish them.
And they never stopped.
Before that they were cruel. And after the Civil War exposed that cruelty. So after the Civil War, they had to find smarter ways. And that's the one thing about the Democrat Party that they always find smarter ways to punish communities that they disagree with.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
They're good at that. That's what we have to figure out.
The Italian migrants that were coming into the country, they punished ethnic groups, the Italians came to me first. I think the Irish were pretty punished too.
The
immigrant
Irish
group. Yeah, exactly right. But that was all pointed to, to corral us into this corral we're in right now, going into socialism. But that's why I said the difference now is, at least in the Civil War, it wasn't so blatant. It was the cruelty was to the blacks, but now it's going to be universal. It's not going to make any difference about the color of your skin. It's going to make a difference on where your status is in society. If you're a working class dog or an elite. We're going to be, there'll probably be two classes, the ruling class and the,
well, that's the whole communist, Marxist, theory where you have the bourgeois and the proletarian.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And, I think the key is education. If you can, is to try and get people on the same page and get those numbers together.
Well, how are you going to get them when the education has already been taken over by the Marxists?
Well, I learned this during the campaign too. We had 1,500 plus volunteers across the state, and almost all of them that had children were homeschooling because they had no faith in the system. So homeschooling as an industry has exploded. So there's positive ground being gained there. But, you know, to change education and completely unbrainwash the populace, it's going to take two generations.
Yep.
That's not a short-term fix. The short-term fix is take their stick and beat them with it and then make things go your way and put the power back in the people. You have the majority numbers, and then you do what the majority says because that's what you're hired to do. You're hired to represent us.
Mm.
You know, and if you don't represent, we have to have mechanisms to say, AOC, if you don't represent us, you're out of here.
Well, listen, we're down to like 3 minutes. I just looked at the thing, and we're down to like 3 minutes remaining to the show. So I really want to thank you for coming in, because the last two shows that we did was talking about basically how we got here. I talked about critical theory. I talked about the communist goals. I talked about different, you know, manifesto and things like that. And you brought in some possible solutions. They're not easy solutions.
Yeah, an effort to get out of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I definitely appreciate you calling in. But like I said, we're down to a couple minutes left in the show.
If you get a chance, go to justdotherightthings.org.
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 All right. Well, I appreciate that.
All right.
Thank you for calling in.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks, John. Have a good one.
You too, man. Good talking to y'all.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
All right, Georgie. We did.
That's
a good
antibody
show.
In the chat, just everybody. That's
yeah.
Antibody in the chat. Good guy.
Yeah,
great
a good
conversation.
Guy. Yeah, absolutely.
Great conversation.
He brought a lot, so we appreciate that coming in. And Smokey left a little while ago saying, "Great conversation, y'all. Thanks." So thank you, Smokey. In case you check this out later, you'll hear me saying thank you for coming in. And big thanks to Stu from New Mexico. Great to hear your voice, Stu. I haven't heard it in a long time, and appreciate you coming in and dropping some info on us and tweeting the link. We appreciate that.
Of course, yeah. Great show, great people. You know, that's how we do what we do. And just real quick for antibody, you know, we're real good at temporarily beating them with the stick. We do it probably every 4 years, every midterm, something like that. Let's see what happens this time. There's been a drastic change. So I don't know what's going to happen in this midterm. But we're good at temporarily.
Try to stay optimistic, Dean. Try to stay optimistic at least. You're like, yeah, I'm about to slip my wrist there, anybody.
Nobody. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it.
All right. So listen, we're coming up to the end here. So we definitely appreciate everybody that was checking the show out live, and anybody that checks it out on the podcast, we appreciate you checking in with us. We're just two guys, and we're just doing what we think we can to make any kind of a difference that we can think of. So G-Scale, give me the last word. You got 15 seconds. Ready to go.
Love you guys. Peace out.
There you go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Drop that beat.
Ha, 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 ha.
That's Woo! Awesome. I love that. That's the same intro music you had before, isn't it?
One of them, yeah.
Yeah.
That one awesome. that one actually came from a song that I did called "They Hate Me."
Yep.
And I did a video for it, and they actually played my song on a radio show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, me and my wife, I forgot, I think we were coming from the airport, because I think my wife worked at the airport at the time.
Yep.
And we were coming from her job, and I was listening to this guy's show, because I normally listen to it. It was, oh, God, I'm trying to remember his name. Humphreys was his last name.
Oh, Rusty.
Yeah. It was his show.
You talking about Rusty Humphreys.
I was listening to his show, and all of a sudden, he played my song.
How the hell did he do that? Did you know him outside of that? How did he do that?
No. I was just tweeting it out and Facebooking it out to certain people. And what happened was, I think his producer had got a hold of it. And his producer ended up playing it. Well,
that's awesome.
On
the Rusty Humphreys show.
Yep. On the Rusty Humphreys show, they played
song. I remember listening to him. I remember, you know, downloading podcasts and stuff like that.
Yeah, you used to send them to me.
Yeah, and he ended up, because he had a radio show, a live radio show, and then he got dumped off the radio show, and he ended up just doing a podcast, but he lived in Atlanta. I think he lived someplace north of that before that. Nothing exotic. It wasn't New York or anything like that. It was like northern Minnesota or something. I don't know. But he ended up down in Georgia, so, or even even Atlanta.
Yeah, because he was doing a radio show, and a radio show was becoming very, very popular.
Yeah,
he was talking about how they were moving up in the ratings, and what ended up happening was all of a sudden they changed it to Spanish ESPN.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, they just dropped them, and it became Spanish ESPN.
Yeah, probably because it
was
being
so
too effective.
Pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was being too effective.
And you know the crazy thing? A year later, they brought back talk radio. Rusty Humphreys wasn't with them, but yeah, they brought it back to a talk radio station.
A format, yeah.
But
without Rusty. So he has, what's he doing now? Is he still doing stuff?
I don't know.
Just curious. Because he was good. He was funny. He was great.
Yeah,
great personality, great voice, great, you know, great topic. He's a real quick thinker, you know, he always was on point. You know, I remember listening to all his shows.
Yep.
I remember you used to send them to me. In that stuff, yeah. Oh, is that what I did? I don't remember doing that.
Yeah, you used to send them to me because when they dropped them here in Atlanta, I was
right.
I can't get them no more.
That's right.
Yeah, you used to send me his shows every week.
Yeah.
I had them. they're still on my computer.
Oh, no kidding. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember. I can remember. I remember doing. I had a cleaning business, and I was doing rugs, and I would do. I had headphones, right? So I would listen to, like, Laura Ingraham and her radio show before she was at Fox. Long before she was at Fox, listen to her.
Yeah, I would do
Rusty Humphreys, or I would listen to. Michael Savage, Mark Levin. Sean Hannity, those guys were a given, you know. I made friends with somebody on Twitter who gave me I forget how they did it. I wanted to get like the Rush Limbaugh show, the Rush Limbaugh podcast, because I didn't catch it. I mean, you know, 10 years ago or so. Well, what he did was he sent me a podcast from his show, and
somehow, I don't know if I would, like, try to, like, upload that back or something. But anyways, because I had that one podcast, it allowed me access to the to a bunch of the other ones for free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was cool. But then, you know, then that lapsed or whatever. I don't remember if it I think the thing ran out. So I couldn't get that anymore. But that was kind of cool as it when it went. I would listen to all of them. I'd be, you know, nothing to do but listen to, you know, the next show. Crowley, what's her name? Monica Crowley had a show. I listened to that one. She was really, really good. There was a couple other people that Billy Cunningham, I would listen to his show when I was cleaning at night.
Joe Pags.
He would fill in with Sean Hannity once in a while. You know, all those guys. I can remember when John McCain tore into Billy Cunningham for referring to Obama as Barack Hussein Obama because of that middle name. That's why you lost, you idiot. Yeah. No, but I remember, you know, just that's when I was like, I was just listening to all that stuff. And then, you know, I was starting to like take notes. Okay, let me check this out. Let me check that out. And then at home, I would get home and I would go to my desk and I would like empty out my pockets of all these little scraps of paper of notes and topics and stuff like that. And then I would sit down and I would look up this topic and I would search on that topic. And I had all these little notes, and then it started expanding and expanding and expanding. I got a lot of information that I gathered. And when I, you know, I said, okay, what am I going to do with this? That's when I decided, I'll tell you what, when I discovered the 45 goals for the communist goals, when I discovered that, that's when I decided, I'm going to write a book. And that was all the stuff that kind of contributed to that first book, was all because of that. All these separate, I mean, of course they would talk about things that were going on, but then each of them would have like this little side topic that would be, hey, that's interesting. You don't hear that on the mainstream news, you know. And that was one of the reasons, you know, if you're just somebody that just watches the news and goes to bed, all this other stuff is actually happening, and you might care about it. You know, it might make a difference if you knew what was going on with, you know, all these different things. So that's what kind of prompted me to write the book originally. Anyway.
Yeah, I have notebooks and notebooks and notebooks filled with that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because instead of, you know, the little piece of paper, I always had a notebook handy, and I'd jot stuff down, you know, when I was out
working, you know, and I'd be at two or three.
Oh, yeah.
And so I would just pick up like a Post-it note or something, you know. You know, if I'm cleaning an office, there's
like
a Post-it note pad around. Yeah.
Yeah, I always had a small writing pad with me, and I just be writing stuff down during the day. And while I'm working, I'm listening to people's podcasts and their shows and stuff. And that's what I used to do the same thing. Well, great minds think alike.
Well, since I wasn't really, you know, I was in between main jobs, I said I might as well do something with this to try to generate anything residual. Well, that didn't work. But they're out there. Two books.
It was a great experience, though.
Yeah, that's true.
It was a great experience. And not for nothing, they're great books. Well, I don't know about the second one because I've never never seen it.
Yeah, right when I would have started really promoting that one was when I started working that other job, I think. So I really didn't have time to, I really didn't get into promoting that.
Right. Yeah, but, I mean, great books. It's just sad that, you know, the rest of the world didn't get a chance to share that with you.
Yeah. Hey, are we still broadcasting?
I think it's still planned. I haven't ended it.
Don't end it because I want to try something. I just want to see if this little device that I have as an interface for the microphone, I want to see if I can play audio through that. So I'm going to play something and we'll see if it plays. I just got to find something. It's halfway decent in case it's still recording.
Yeah.
All right. We'll try this one. Can you hear that?
I can hear it. I can hear it, but it's not going through the system.
It's not going through the system?
No.
So how do you hear it?
It sounds like it's playing through your microphone or something.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. Sounds like it's playing through a microphone.
Okay, that's fine. Just curious. See, what I was wondering is if I could look something up on my phone because it's coming out of my phone. I put it into the auxiliary input, the instrument input into this thing. There's an auxiliary, there's an auxiliary input that would probably make it sound better, but I don't have an aux cord I have a different aux cord, so I used what I had. So I'll find out when I listen to this back. That's what it sounds like through that input. And I can get another input. So in other words, if I have like sound bites that I want to play or videos that I find, you know, for the show, there's a way to like direct in to the show. So that's what I was just kind of checking right now. Okay, bud.
Okay. All righty, man.
All right, Ben.
You have a good one. Have a great weekend. Tell the fam I said hi.
Will do. You rock on, all right, brother?
All right, sir. You have a good one.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.